Item number four, discussion and possible action on selection of Master Limited Partnership Investment Management Services by John, again.
Richard, again, I'll turn it over to discuss our Alarion investment we talked about.
Right, and I think most of this was also posted earlier, and the Alarion MLP ETF is on the chart, and it's net of taxes. It's run as a C corp. So when the market is significantly moving up, the accruals on taxes tend to really pull down the overall return. The market starts to sell off, then those accruals would be reversed somewhat. So there should be some downside protection. So it may have some diversification benefits in there. But the other two indexes that I've put in this particular presentation are MLPN, which is also the Alarion MLP infrastructure area, and MLPI, which is also the Alarion MLP infrastructure area. One is equal weighted, which is MLPI, and the other one is which is MLPN, and the other one is capitalization weighted, which is MLPI. So we can get some additional diversification off of the same underlying securities by putting both of those indexes into the overall mix. Help move us toward the target allocations to MLPNs. Both of these are ETNs and not ETFs. ETNs are exchange-traded notes, which is the other reason to possibly split between carriers. MLPN is a overall ETN that is run by, let's see, which one would MLPN? One of them is UBS, is the MLPI is UBS, and MLPN is Credit Suisse. So two very, very large, incredibly stable, if you will, financial institutions. You take on a little bit of credit risk with them, but by taking on that credit risk, they're issuing a 1099 instead of a K-1. As they invest the underlying funds, they're taking the MLP tax advantages of it for tax-paying entities, and charging a fee for doing that of 85 basis points. And you get the overall gross return of the index and the income minus 85 basis points, which is a very, very advantageous thing for us to do, I believe. We don't have then the, if you will, K-1 problems associated with having to file a tax return for unrelated business taxable income.
So Richard, just so I'm understanding what all that we've talked about this first, is that if we did what you were talking about, we'd end up with three investments,
right?
Not changing the current investment.
Not changing, but diversifying, and as we move along, if we find that the tax effect is a little bit too onerous, we can move it at those.
Are you recommending, we currently have about 900 and some thousand, which is about approximately 5%. Is everybody knew we changed?
The recommendation would be to put $600,000 in each one of these entities, which would bring us up a little bit over the allocation, but because we're slightly under the 5% now. It may take us up a little bit over, but since we pay out, since the income here is captured and then sent off to a disbursement account, part of the return or half of the return really would be dispersed on a, you know, regular basis. So that would have, should have creeped down.
But you said there's a million what in the account now?
900 and...
And you're saying three times six is 1.8 million?
Yeah, which is almost 10%, because there's 20 million.
Well, the target for MLPs now is 10%.
It's 10%, which is roughly $2 million. Our total portfolio is right at 20, so that's about a $2 million target for the whole MLP right now,
right,
which we've got 900 in right now. So
we got to come up with $900,000.
Well, we have 900 in.
Yeah.
If we wanted to get all the way to the target, that would mean 1.1 million.
Additional. Which would have to come out of something else.
Well, that's correct. Yes. As far as where it comes
out of equities, which the target has been reduced on.
Hey, you're selling high. You're selling high. It's a new record.
Yeah.
Hey. That's part of the deal.
Richard, that's a good point. Where it comes from, obviously BBH would be the primary.
Actually, it should come from all three.
Including BBH, Royce, and even Harbor, you believe?
I think like 500,000 out of BBH, 500,000 out of Harbor, and 200,000 out of Royce. And then 600,000 into each of the ETNs.
Now that'll take us over. Yeah, I guess
I said it'd be slightly over, but on a, you know, as we move through the market, that overall allocation should have creeped down a little bit, because half of the return that we're expecting out of this is in income, which is automatically paid out in the disbursement account. So there's always a
All this is time-weighted returns. Is there any way to get an internal rate of return?
For?
As much money as we have coming in and going out, time-weighted returns, as we know, are...
Well, for comparative purposes, the reason they're time-weighted is comparing to other funds and indexes and whatever. From the standpoint of internal rate of return, we can generate that for you, but if we're moving money around, then it's not the manager's fault that we took money away from him when he was had.
Well, we do it anyway though. We've got to fund 1.6 million or so of benefits, so we're taking money out and we're making a contribution every year. We made a significant contribution last year, and we'll do it. And for what I can tell, we'll do it forever. I mean, it ain't gonna go away.
Unless we really start making a lot.
No, I mean, so you know,
your actuary gives you an internal rate of return every year on the total fund.
Well, I didn't talk about that. Maybe it does.
Key.
Anyway.
Well, we can do that. I mean, if you'd like an internal rate of return.
Don't do it for me. It's just a question.
And the other thing I would, I think that the resolution is broad enough to cover, how to fund it. And I would think that the best thing to do with that would be to fund it over a three-month type of period instead of all at once.
I agree with that. Okay. Any other questions or discussion? Tell me again now how this is. Tell me, review the taxes on this for me again, please.
Well, because Master Limited Partnerships are not taxed.
Right.
The owners are the ones who are taxed. And if you're a tax-exempt entity, there are unrelated business taxable income situations that
We discussed all that. I mean, I'm gonna have to go back and play the recording, but I sure thought we That I asked about that, and you said, no, that it wasn't any.
That is correct.
I sure thought, because that's the first thing that popped into my mind was UBTI, because we don't own them in the pension plan for that very reason. And it's not so much the tax you pay, it is the PIA factor. You like that?
Right, and that's why, because of the unrelated business taxable income is why the 1099 from a K-1 makes more sense.
Well, I understand that, but do we owe any taxes on them or not? Have we paid any taxes?
No, we won't owe any taxes, I mean, we don't.
So there is or there isn't?
There isn't, but you're saying, talking about the return, though, you're saying the fact that they accrue taxes.
Well, you're getting a 1099, so you don't have a K-1.
We don't care. It's not taxable.
No, we don't care. We're not going to pay any taxes on it.
But there was a difference in bookkeeping responsibility, was there not, on how we accrued it? There was some question that came up, and I know we talked about it.
Yeah, I could have sworn they said there is no UBTI, but if there is, I mean, you owe the taxes.
Well, but
quote, see, the thinking behind this, the way the IRS's mind works, if you can even try to imagine that,
no,
is that if we own a corporation, we don't pay any tax on the dividends, but the corporation theoretically at some point pays roughly 35% in taxes.
Unless it's an S-corp.
If we own something like that that doesn't pay taxes, then typically they try to get UBTI out of it because it was never taxed. Otherwise, we own it, it's never taxed there, it's never taxed to us, and they don't like that.
But this is a retirement asset.
Well, I understand, but we are in our pension plan, we could not hold these type assets and did not, because we didn't want to do the paperwork
and the
involved in UBTI.
Right.
Now, I could have sworn we discussed this before we got into it, and they said no UBTI.
We just not, because you just take it out and turn it into a 1099.
Right?
Right.
That's the difference between the K-1 and the 1099, is they're paying the tax, and they're giving you the net difference. Is that right?
But the difference with the ETN is, because it's a note with the issuer and who is paying you on the income and return of the index, you only have you don't own the securities, you get a 1099, not a K-1. They take the K-1 note for the underlying investments that they're making and file taxes.
And that's with the current MLP that we have now?
Now, the current MLP that we have now is a ETF. And as a unit holder in ETFs, you own the underlying ETFs, and they formed a C-Corp to pay taxes on those securities.
So are we going to get a K-1 from this?
No, you will get a 1099.
And owe no taxes.
Do what?
And there was no taxes.
Yeah, on 1099, yeah. You won't owe any taxes.
That's correct. But you're saying, okay, so that's not a problem with that. So then the reason back here, the reason that we... that you're advising or recommending going to these other two types of things, I thought was to save, actually get a higher return.
C-Corp, since the C-Corp is paying taxes, you're getting accruing for taxes, which if they sold the underlying assets, they would have to pay. Since they're accruing those taxes, there's a reduced return.
So what about our recipients now?
No, that doesn't flow through. But what about, I mean, why are you keeping the one? Why are we keeping the one that's paying taxes?
I'd be happy to liquidate it and put it all in the other two, but I just, if we are in a high market and the market's going to come off, there'd be a reversal of some of those accruals, and we could do it at that point in time.
Now we're timing
it off. I don't know when you.
But I don't know that your time. Well, the markets go through a cycle, and we know that at some point there's going to be a reversal. But yeah, It's definitely return-wise, I think, better to be in the ETN.
So right now, the recommendation is to stay in the ETF, but to also add the two ETNs.
Right.
The UBS and the Credit Suisse. To the tune, you'd said $600,000 each.
Yes.
$600,000 as opposed to say five or whatever that you wanted.
Just a little bit. Well, I don't mind 500 each. It doesn't matter. I mean, quite frankly, it's 0.1% difference in the allocation.
Well, first of all, that this gets us closer to our asset allocation that we previously adopted, which is probably makes some sense that we went through all that discussion. So we probably need to, if we believe that MLP should be a 10% percentage of our thing, then,
but
you know,
probably. That being said, though, we wouldn't increase our holdings that we already have up to the 10%.
Well, we're getting two new. They're two new.
I understand, but assuming we weren't getting two new, would we then rebalance?
Yeah, you would just increase. I would think you'd increase the ETF. We'd increase the ETF. I think the reason we're here now that we think the notes might be a better instrument. These two notes might be a better instrument. I don't have any.
Yeah, we have two questions here. We could probably take care of it with one resolution. But the two questions are, do you want to go up to 10%? Well, you said you were going to do that some time ago, so I think you should do that. And now is as good a time as any. If you want to phase it in over 3 months, that's fine too. The second question would be, what instrument do you want to use for it? Now, if this instrument that we selected is resulting in us, and you know, going back to your report, we were earning roughly a third less than the index, which would tend to make me think, well, a third, yeah, that must be the 35% taxes. Well, now, if we can go to these other things and not pay taxes, my question would be, why did we go to that other one in the first place, and why wouldn't we just put it all in those two?
Come out of this
yeah.
one and put all of this in here.
I mean, like, if where we are is not good, well, you know, then we shouldn't have gone there in the first place, but, I mean, that's water under the bridge. Why are we staying there?
I think one of the comments you made is we could get out of the ETF, but we'd be better served if there was a market. I mean, this isn't maybe the best particular time.
Well, yeah, and he is right. It's kind of market timing, but
I'm not sure
you
anticipate that.
They've had a big run-up, and when the market starts to correct, there's going to be some reversals of those accruals.
On this new one we put it in?
And the old.
Not on the new ones.
Well,
the
new ones won't have that
in. No, but you're coming out of an MLP investment going into an MLP investment. What's the difference other than the transaction cost? I mean, it's sort of like if I was coming out of the stock market and going into the stock market. I mean, what's the difference? If the market's higher, the market's low, what difference does it make?
Are you ready to tell us?
Well, I think the difference is that if or whatever we get a market correction, there should be a reversal of some of those accruals.
What are those accruals?
Taxes. The tax accruals.
We didn't have anything to do with the taxes.
I know, but the underlying investment has been accruing for people selling and them having to to give them their money back. And to do that, they would then have to sell the underlying MLPs because it is an ETF. And when they sold those, then there would be a tax impact on that portfolio.
But that's speculation based
that's
on
true.
What we think the market's going to do.
That's true.
Oh.
That's very true.
I'm
so,
talking
I mean,
about the one we it, sell.
Huh?
If we sell it to the open market, that doesn't have any bearing. We just get out of it. We
can that's fine.
Right? We can just sell
that's
it
fine.
If we want to. That's the way this MLP trades, correct?
Right.
It's a fund.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, so the decision is, do you want to sell out of the ETF? Do you want to basically liquidate the ETF and buy, say, these two at a higher amount? or do you want to just leave it in the ETF and buy these two? In either case, it's just, it sounds like in either case, unless there's objection, we would probably would buy these two. It's just a function of how much. Do you want to put it all in these two, or do you want to?
Well, if you put $1 million in each one, you would be at your 10%.
Right. You'd be right there.
That's correct.
Again, for my MLPs typically are buying or companies that own infrastructure, pipelines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Looking at this UBS, I don't see that. Am I overlooking something? Looks like to me they're buying paper and not hard assets.
What do you mean?
Well,
they're buying into master limited partnerships that own the hard assets.
But say, I know very little about ETFs or MLPs, so I'm trying to learn something more than anything.
Right. I mean, they're buying the various, if you will, master limited partnerships that make up that index. Or giving you the return of those.
So do we think it makes more sense to liquidate the ETF and do $1 million in each one of these?
Any correction in the market, that's far and away the better way to go.
Well, if we're not going to time the market, then that would be the way we were going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever said that we were market timers. We were trying to stick to our allocations, although we kind of now have a bond fund that's kind of a hedge fund. But other than that, I'm not worried about it. Richard owns it.
This Alerian MLP ETF, it says no K-1s-1099 tax reporting on this sheet here.
Right. Which one are you reading on the UBS or the?
No, I'm the Alerian MLP ETF.
This is the investment we have.
Right.
Right?
Yes, I put their fact sheet in there.
Well, it says there's
it
no.
It says there's
oh, because
K-1.
They're doing it.
They're doing it.
That's because they're doing it.
Okay. So does that not eliminate the issue we were talking about a minute ago?
No, apparently not. No, apparently they're paying it. Apparently they're doing some kind of composite. But I don't know if this is a good example or not, but we operate in 20-something states. So that our all of our shareholders would not have to file, for example, a Louisiana tax return, we file foreign. We file a composite return and pay their taxes. But we don't pay anything for the ESOP because it's tax-free entity. So I don't know how these people are doing this. I don't understand. I don't know how they would do it because they would have to know if they had. In order to file a composite return, they'd have to know that some of their entities were tax-free. I don't understand.
We have the resolution, and of course we can write this anyway. I mean, if we want to go down this path, or I mean, Richard, what's the? Of course, we only meet every 3 months. I mean, what's the ramifications? We weren't to do anything this time, and we'll find out more on this.
I mean, you know, Bill is right. If we're you're not going to say, hey, you know, we're kind of trying to time the market, and if that's like, geez, I don't know if we want to be doing that, but we do have an allocation to MLPs. We ought to fulfill the allocation. then the thing to do would be to put $1 million in the two ETNs.
They're all the same.
And to you know, radically liquidate the ETF when doing that.
I guess the question is, to some extent, it's like, is there really anything? And I don't know, I'm not real clear whether the ETF is really that much different than the other two, though.
Oh, it is, because the other two are not paying any taxes at all.
That's a good point.
Are not accruing any taxes at all.
Well, they're notes. They're ETNs, not
right.
ETFs.
Yes, so. Yes, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the difference.
If you were to read it, the resolution, and have the resolution say that we're going to sell, liquidate our existing exchange-traded fund and invest $1 million each in two exchange-traded notes, then at that point we would have a resolution that someone could make a motion on and second, and then we would see if there would be any discussion prior to voting.
If you'll go to the, flip it, we'll look at it real quick. Okay. Okay, that part's just that we would add the two organizations, the UPS and the Credit Suisse on that one. The next thing I wrote to basically just be general in the sense that we would take, now we will follow exactly what, I can either put that in the resolution, which we'd have to change the words, or we could do it like that, and then I'll follow exactly what you all want me to do. Because that just says we'll fund it and take any all actions to fund it in a way consistent with that. And that has to do with whether we liquidate it from there or not. And I'll do it whatever.
If you're happy with the resolution, then go
I'm
ahead
okay
and
with
read
the resolution
it thusly.
Like that,
then read it thusly, please.
Okay. I'll read those two, both of them in there.
We just want to make sure that the resolution gives you enough rope to hang yourself. And Richard with you. Okay?
Thank you.
Double hanging.
You know?
Saves on rope.
He's from that, you know, he's here, he's got a briefcase, he's an expert, he's supposed to know these things.
I understand. The following resolution is presented for consideration by the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority for adoption at its November 18th, 2013 meeting. Be it resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to execute an agreement with, number one, UBS E-Tracks Alerian MLP Infrastructure Index, and number two, Credit Suisse MLP Index ETN, to provide Master Limited Partnership Investment Management Services for the retirement plan for employees of the Brazos River Authority, with the agreement containing such terms and conditions consistent with the investment policy of the plan and in the best interest of the Brazos River Authority. Be it further resolved that the Retirement Committee of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to take any and all actions necessary to fund such Master Limited Partnership Investment Management Services in accordance with the asset allocation strategy and the statement of investment policy of the plan.
It's on there somewhere, right here.
Yeah, that's on a different board.
Well. All right, did everyone hear the motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Bennis.
Second.
Is that Matt?
Yes.
Matt Wheelis is the second. Do we have any further discussion or any other questions? Okay, please poll the committee.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Bell?
No.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director, Mr. Collinsworth?
Yes.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Wheelis?
Yes.
So is the direction, is the wish for the committee to liquidate then the ETF
right.
And put it just in those two as opposed to
right.
Okay. That's what we're just making sure.